Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Don't forget, you can support the Father's Day by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or locals.com. And I do appreciate it. Check out my coffee. I have my own coffee, Parchis Coffee, and it is good. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. jesseleepeterson.shop. We have merch and everything there, so check out the coffee. I have with me Pastor Miguel Martinez. He is the head of the First Baptist Church of Norwalk and a member of the Los Angeles Southern Baptist Association. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Amazing. And so how long have you been a pastor?
About 10 years.
10 years?
Yes.
That's amazing. And were you called by God, or did you go to school to become a pastor?
Well, it's a confluence of those things. I was attending a church, and the pastor at this church, Dr. Maury, he was my pastor, and he said, "Hey, you've got the makings of a good preacher. You might be a pastor one day." And he took me under his wing, started training me, and then they told me, "Go to seminary." And I did. I went to what's now known as Gateway Seminary. When I went there, it was Golden Gate Seminary.
Oh, okay.
And they moved from San Francisco. Now they're in Ontario. It's a good school, solid school. And then after that, I went to the Master's Seminary with John MacArthur. And I graduated from there with a doctorate of ministry.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so the pastor decided that you should become a pastor?
So the pastor thought... He said, I've got the makings of a pastor, so he trained me and everything. But then down the line, when he retired and left, and the people, I started attending another church that he recommended, and the pastors there took me under their wing, and then they started training me. And then when they both moved on to other positions, other things, they presented me as a candidate. And so the congregation... then took me through a process of interviews and, you know, testing my preaching and my doctrine until finally the congregation elected to place me as their pastor.
And so what was it about you that the original pastor thought that you should be a pastor?
I guess he thought that he said that I was someone that, you know, cared about the people. Perhaps I had a good way of presenting the doctrines of the church, the teachings of Scripture, and I suppose my testimony, my character was one that he thought might be okay for the part. Yeah.
Were you surprised?
Yes, I was. I was surprised because as much as I loved to preach and teach. My feeling was always like, no one wants to listen to me. So I was surprised when he said, "No, I think your preaching and teaching are worth listening to." So that was good.
Amazing. And so you say you care about the people?
Absolutely. That's a big deal. Because I love humanity. I love souls.
And why?
Because they are made in the image of God. They're precious in the sight of the Lord.
Really?
Yes.
What does that mean, precious in the sight of the Lord?
Because each person is made in the image of Christ, they reflect the eternal virtues of God's character, which are beautiful inherently.
So I don't see anybody that look that way.
No, it's covered in a lot of muck, a lot of sin.
Oh, okay.
It's marred, and that's why Christ died on the cross for the sake of redeeming his people.
And have they been redeemed?
Yes, that was what he said on the cross. It is finished.
But they don't know it?
Some of them don't.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, a good number of them throughout church history have discovered they were saved. And there are still people out there who don't know that the Lord has redeemed them. And when the gospel reaches them, they finally get the lights turned on and faith is activated in their hearts and they are redeemed, they are saved.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is, amen.
So you are a member of the Los Angeles Southern Baptist Association.
Yes, sir.
What is that?
LASBA is a Los Angeles Southern Baptist Association is a group of churches that have come together to help each other in ministry. So we no one small church can send out a group of missionaries, you know, but many churches, if we get together, we can send out missionaries to countries. I'm sorry, I'm getting. we send out.
A drug call?
No, it's a timer that tells me stop eating. And
it tells you to stop eating.
To start eating. I'm trying to eat at on a certain schedule.
So is it meal time right now?
Yes. But I won't eat anything right now.
All right.
So we send out missionaries as a group of churches, and we're able to do that. Even a small church can do that now and participate in that. And there are other endeavors that we are able to do.
Is it just made of blacks and Mexicans?
Oh, no. The Los Angeles Southern Baptists are blacks, Mexicans, Koreans, white people.
Filipinos.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You love white people?
I love white people. I love Latinos, Filipinos, black people, of course.
How about white people?
I love white people.
Amazing.
I married one.
You did? Oh, man, you really love them.
I really love them.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So the organization of preachers who work together to send out other preachers to minister to people.
We're churches, and yes,
churches.
Yeah,
and
we work together to send out missionaries, to humanitarian aid. The one of the best disaster relief organizations on the planet is a Southern Baptist entity,
That's amazing.
We help fund that. Yeah.
Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What does that mean to people that don't know what it means?
The fallen state, it means that man sinned before God. God gave clear instruction in the Garden of Eden, and a man sinned collectively when they took of the fruit that was forbidden. Right. God had provided everything, and then man sinned. And in that sin, they fell, and the nature of man fell with it, so that we are now inclined toward sin. And so every natural person, every person who's born, they're born in sin, and they need
Christ.
And
what is the sin?
The sin is an essential rebellion against God.
Meaning what?
It means that we favor death.
Oh.
We do things that take us towards death. Sin is essentially a death-dealing thing.
And so because Adam listened to the woman...
Uh-huh.
And the woman became his God as Satan became the woman's God.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that every time the man listens to the woman, he suffers even today?
No, I would argue against that because my wife's advice is the best advice I can get.
Really? You listen to your wife?
I absolutely do. Yeah.
So,
she's my helpmate, exactly what Scripture says.
But she's supposed to be helping with the children and cooking and cleaning and... ironing and washing your clothes, not any other way.
No, but the idea of helpmate in Scripture actually has to do with a side-by-side, toe-to-toe person who is the match, the complement. And in other places in Scripture, in the Psalms, for example, that same word, or helpmeet is what the King James translation is. In other places in Scripture where that word is used, It's the person with the shield that helps the warrior.
Well,
and so they have
the woman has the shield?
In a sense, yeah.
Of Satan?
No, the woman, in fact, that word is used to describe Yahweh, God himself, as the helpmeet of man.
So you think the woman is the shield of man?
I think that she can operate side by side with a man.
But do you believe she's the shield of man?
In some ways, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
And so why God said every time you listen to the woman, you're going to suffer?
Where does God say that?
To Adam.
He didn't.
He said because you listen to the woman, you will suffer.
Well, because...
Didn't he say that?
Uh-huh.
And so if the woman is a shield, why would God say every time you listen to the woman, you're going to suffer? Uh-huh. And because you listen to the woman, you're going to suffer. And even today, every time the men listen to women, whether it's their mother, their girlfriend, wife, or any woman, they suffer. If she's a shield, why do they suffer when they listen to the woman?
I think that... I think you're taking that passage and extending it throughout the whole text of Scripture, but Scripture develops its themes. There are many heroic women throughout Scripture.
No. Tell me first, why did God say, because you listen to the woman, you shall suffer? Why do you say that if she was a shield?
Because when Eve said what she did about, you know, look at this fruit, Adam was sitting right there. He had heard from God the revelation, the instruction, don't take of this fruit. But Adam, of course, made the mistake of instead doing the wrong thing.
And then the woman became the man's God, and now he suffers.
You know, I kind of see what you're getting at.
And what's that?
And that's the idea that men who worship women, is a problem.
Right.
That is a problem.
Absolutely.
Because a woman can be an idol. Anything can be an idol. As C.S. Lewis said, that you can turn every single thing that is earthly or creaturely into an idol. And that is absolutely true.
And so if the woman is the man's shield, why does he suffer every time he listens to her?
Well, that's decidedly false, because when I listen to my wife, I don't suffer. I prosper. I walk with the Lord.
What would happen if you didn't listen to her?
There would be turmoil.
And so if that's the order of God, the shield of God, why would there be turmoil if you don't listen to her?
Because she often, if not always, has very sound, biblical, godly advice for me. Yes.
Well, don't listen to her and see what happens.
I'm not sure I'm ready to try that.
See how sound her advice is, right? Have you noticed that you believe in the order of God?
It depends on what you mean by that.
Do you know the order of God?
The order of God? Are you talking about the Trinity? Are you talking about...
God and Christ, Christ and man, man over woman, and women over children. Do you believe in that order of God?
I guess there is a sense that's true about that.
Do you believe in that order?
I'll, for the sake of conversation,
no,
sure.
No, not for the sake of... Do you believe in that order?
God...
In Christ.
And men, God and Christ, men over the
Christ
household, the wife under that household.
Yeah, sure. Not household, but order of God.
Yeah,
God
okay.
and Christ, right?
Okay.
Christ over man, man over woman, right?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
No, not yes, okay, yes or no.
Yeah.
Okay.
The woman is the complement, and she is to obey and listen to the authority of her man.
So if that's the order, and it is,
sure.
Why would a man listen to a woman?
Because she's a counselor.
But she's not a counselor. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. So why would a man listen to the woman, knowing God said every time you listen, you will suffer? You're afraid to not listen to your wife, and you know it's going to be a price. Hell to pay if you don't listen. That's because it's not God's order that you should listen to her. You should listen to Christ.
I guess what I'm saying
that
is that when my wife gives advice that is sound and biblical and in harmony with the revelation of God, which is Scripture, the Bible, then I am totally fine with listening to her counsel. She reminds me of the teachings of Scripture. So Christ is the head of our household. And
you're the head of the household, Christ is the head of you, and you're the head of your wife, right?
Absolutely. Okay. So when her advice is, in my judgment, not biblical, then I say, I'm sorry, but I think this is what we need to do. You're wrong on this one. And that has happened in the past.
You said it to your wife, or she said that to you?
No, I've said that to her.
How do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
No, she submits.
But how do you deal with the hell in her when it comes out?
I preach to her. I disciple her.
You like, Satan, go sit down.
No, I'm a Hispanic preacher, not a black preacher.
You're like, since your health, look at death.
No, I wish it was that easy, but no, it's more of a teaching through the issue. Let's go look at Scripture. What does God have to say about this?
So when the hell come out of her, you go look at Scripture with her?
Yeah.
But that doesn't work?
Sure it does, because she has the Spirit of God in her, too.
Uh-uh.
Yes, she does. She's redeemed by God.
Hold on a minute. The truck going by. Somebody died.
Oh, sorry. I hear it, too. That's sad.
It's sad?
Yeah.
Why?
Because people are precious.
Let the dead bury the dead. Remember Christ said, I ain't got time to
Christ
go to no funeral. Let the dead bury the dead.
He did say that.
And so so when the hell comes out of her, you give Scriptures and you think that helps.
It always does.
Then why are you afraid to correct her now?
Perhaps you mistake my joking for my being afraid of correcting her. I am joking, but there is a sense in which if I have to correct her, I do, and there is no trouble with that. She takes it very easily and lovingly.
Oh, yeah.
And that we have thank God, I'm blessed. We have a very harmonious relationship.
Is she older or younger than you?
She's younger.
She's young, nice.
Yes.
At least you did one thing right.
Yeah. It's a blessing.
Yeah, it is. And so, did the woman come from God or from man?
Well, she is the flesh of my flesh. So man came from God, and then God from the flesh of the man made the woman.
So the woman came from the man?
Yes.
And then, so then, knowing that the man is from God and the woman is from the man, why would men obey any woman?
Because she is the designated helpmeet
of the man.
But
that means help you in the household with your children.
It doesn't.
Not like in the church.
Have you read Proverbs 31 by any chance?
Oh, Lord, don't tell me about the biblical proverb woman.
Yeah, I mean, she's an entrepreneur.
You fall for that. You fell for that, the proverb woman.
I read Scripture.
Oh, Jesus. Not you. You didn't fall for that.
I love that passage.
The biblical woman.
Now, here's the thing. That passage has grammatical connections to the book of Ruth.
Oh, Jesus.
And in the book of Ruth, you see this woman that's desolate. She's two women, Naomi and Ruth, desolate and desperate. And what do they need? They need a redeemer, a man.
Right.
Absolutely true. So
why is she the proverb woman if she needed a
because,
man to redeem her?
Because her virtue, her excellence, Ooh. Because she's a person of godly character. That's Ooh. What Boaz calls Ruth.
Oh.
He calls her the Proverbs 31 woman.
Boaz did that?
Yeah.
No wonder they call him Boaz.
Yeah. Well, he gives her that title, the virtuous woman.
Oh, no wonder.
Because of her desire of Yahweh, of the God of Israel, and her desire to be under that, because she's a Gentile woman, but she comes under the teaching of Yahweh, of the God of Israel, and is redeemed by Boaz, who is a reflection, an early preview of Christ himself.
But still, that don't mean she's the virtuous woman.
Yeah, she is.
Mary was the only virtuous woman.
Okay, well, uh-huh. Where do you get that idea? Well, I would say that Ruth is a reflection or a preview of Mary as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Is it true that the God above is the man's God, right?
Okay.
Is that true?
Sure.
And then the God below, small g, God below, is the woman's God.
That God below is
Satan.
Satan, is who is Satan? The God of all fallen men
but
and women.
But isn't Satan the woman's God, though?
Are you speaking of feminism? Are you speaking
No, I'm just asking, is it true that Satan is a woman's God?
He's the God of all who are fallen in their sins.
How about the woman?
Fallen women as well.
Who
yes.
fell to Satan first, the man or the woman?
I'm sorry, say again?
Who gave in to Satan first, the man or the woman?
When you read the text, it's almost simultaneous, but it was the woman who Satan approached first.
Who gave it to Satan first, the man or the woman?
It was the woman, yes.
And when she gave it to Satan, did Satan become her God? And she could no longer obey her husband because Satan became her God. Is that true? I
disagree with that interpretation.
So the Bible lied about that?
No, I disagree with your interpretation.
What do you mean?
I don't think you're seeing that text correctly.
Well, it said that once she listened to the woman, she can no longer listen to her husband, right?
It says that she becomes in opposition to her husband.
That means no longer listen to her husband.
Yeah, but that's like you said, that's the fallen state.
Right, so, man, that is the fallen state. And so once a woman listens to Satan, she can no longer listen to her husband. Obey her husband, right?
But of course, that's all of us. We all fall under that same sin. We become idolaters.
And so once a woman listens to Satan, she can no longer obey her husband, right?
Perhaps, but there are some women that make idols of their spouses, of their husbands.
And so once the woman listens to the serpent, she can no longer obey her husband, right?
I think that's true, sure.
And that's because Satan became her God. Because prior to that, she would listen to her husband, who listened to his father, God.
Okay.
And so is it true that once the woman listened to the serpent, he became her God, she can no longer listen to her husband?
What happens is that true? All of humanity fell into that sin.
But is that true that she can no longer listen to her husband once she listens to the serpent, the devil?
Okay, sure, yes.
It is true?
I think that what you're getting at is that...
No, I'm just asking a question.
You're just asking a question. I love this. Okay.
Is that true?
I'll go ahead and say yes.
I'm sorry?
I'll go ahead and say yes.
So would you go take the door number one or something?
Because I want to hear more.
Is that true, Bert? You a preacher? Is that true?
It is true, yeah. Okay. It is true. The serpent's philosophy, that of Satan, is one of disobedience, rebellion, and death-dealing.
And so because he became the woman's God, she was disobedient and death-beating.
You see, there's this big circle of humanity, and you're saying within that circle, what I'm hearing you say is that within that circle of humanity, man and woman, only woman is the one who worships the devil, and I disagree with that.
I never said that.
Okay.
I was asked a question. You read all that into it.
All right, good.
What the?
Okay.
So I'm trying to ask the question, is it true that the woman would listen to her husband before Satan became her God?
Okay.
And once she listened to Satan, he became her God, and she could no longer obey her husband, right?
Okay.
Is that true?
I think that's fair to say.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it true?
It's true.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And then Adam was still listening to his father until he listened to the woman, and then he no longer listened to his father. Is that right?
Adam.
Yeah.
Listens to the woman instead of his father.
He would listen to his father until he started listening to the woman. Is that true?
That's a good extrapolation. Okay, sure, yes, true.
Is that true or not?
Yes, in that narrative, that does happen. Yeah, he listens to her, and he takes of the fruit.
It did happen, right?
Yes.
And so once he did that, the woman became his God, and now, thank God, Christ came and can return, change that around to be normal. But the woman became the man's God, right? And so once that happened, every time the man listened to the woman, even today, that's why even today he still suffers, because she has the mind and emotions of the devil. She like her father, the devil. Is that true?
If we're speaking of an unregenerate, unbelieving woman, I agree with you. But when we speak of a Christian woman who has been redeemed, who has been regenerate, who has the Spirit of God in her, I absolutely disagree.
But let's deal with one thing at a time.
Okay.
So that is true that because Adam listened to the woman and Satan is her God, she is an emotional illogical being.
Yeah.
Because of Satan being her guy, right?
Now, yes. Once again, we're back to that circle. I know you're not saying it out loud.
I'm not even thinking it.
But that the narrow idea that it's just the woman, that I would disagree with. I think that
we're going to get to that in a minute.
You're saying is true about both men and women, about humanity.
No, I'm talking about women first.
But and I'm fine to say that women, yes, the God of women
is Satan
right. As well as men, I would say. It's
But why are you throwing that in right now? We ain't there yet.
Okay.
Then what's wrong with
I'll
you?
Let you keep rolling.
And so the God of Satan is the woman.
Yeah.
And the God of man, Satan is the God of the woman, mm-hmm. and the woman is the God of man because Adam listened to the woman. Is that right?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, Christ came and restored that, but most people don't even know that.
No, they don't. Yeah, we got to preach it.
Right. That's what I'm trying to do, and you talk about a circle.
It says for all have sinned in Romans chapter 1. And that means that men and women have sinned.
Right, but it comes through the woman, though. So is it true that when the man and the child, whether girl or boy, is born of the woman, he's born in sin, because her nature is evil.
Because she is a human and humanity is fallen.
So,
yes.
But is her nature evil because Satan is her God?
Yes.
Right. So when children are born through the woman of the flesh, they are born into an evil nature,
yes.
Which is of the mother, right?
No, it's of humanity.
No, it's
to
a
say
mother.
Of the mother.
Do
is...
who, does humanity have babies? Or does the woman have babies?
Well, woman is humanity.
What?
And man is humanity.
So the baby born through the woman, which her nature is evil, and so that the child is born of sin because the mother's nature is evil, right?
You know, biblically speaking, that's part of why Mary had a virgin birth. It's the men are the ones who were circumcised. The men are the ones whose lineage is often the indicator of a passing down of evil. So, for example, in 2 Kings, all of Ahab's kids are killed by Jehu because there has to be a cleansing, Jehu being another sneak preview of Jesus, even though Jehu himself ended up being not a good guy. But when that happened, it was the men who were killed because they are the bearers of the image of God, as it were. They're the representatives.
Absolutely.
And so that's why Mary has a virgin birth, because the child Christ is conceived in her ex nihilo, you know?
Like, where is Mary now?
Huh? Where is she now?
Yeah.
Her soul is with the Lord.
I rest my case.
Okay. Okay. We agree on that.
and so when the child is born through the woman, he's born into, he or she, it could be the boys and the girl. They are born into sin because the mother nature is evil.
I think,
is that right?
I think I would disagree with that expression of that.
But God said it.
Where?
All who are born of the flesh must be born of the spirit.
Okay, yes, that in John.
So you still disagree?
I would say that scripture indicates that the sinful nature
is of the woman.
Is a paternal thing.
Inside the woman.
Men put babies inside women. So like that's
But the man is not putting a sinful baby in the woman.
Yeah, that's the idea that Scripture has.
No.
Yeah.
And so, but let's just
agree to disagree then.
How is a man putting a sinful sperm into a woman?
Because man is sinful. We're inherently sinful.
He didn't say that born of the sperm. He said of the flesh. And all who are born through the woman.
Well, that's
is evil.
That whole biology is. That whole biology is what is considered sinful. That's why Christ has to be incarnate in sinless flesh.
Right. We're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
And so you agree that the boys and the girls are born of sin, by coming through the nature of the woman, because her nature is evil, is sinful, right?
Yes, human nature. Woman is sinful, too. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Not woman's sinful, too, but the woman nature is sinful, right?
And by nature, yes.
Right.
They're born that way. Right. We're all born in sin.
We're talking about women. You're not a woman.
Okay. Okay. I agree with that. I am not a woman.
Right. So we're not talking about the man. We're talking about the woman, right?
Right.
Right. And so we're born into sin because we're born through the woman. And then God said, all who are born through the woman, men and women, must be born of the Spirit of the Father, right? A return to the Father. Is that right?
They must be born of the Spirit. Yes, that's what Jesus tells Nicodemus. They must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, how is that even possible? I'm not going to crawl back into my mom.
That's right.
And Jesus says, you must be born of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And that is a full restoration or a regeneration of the heart and soul that is naturally sinful, but then the Spirit of God remodels it, to say it that way, so that it's no longer inclined to sin.
And so now you understand that because the man listened to the woman, Satan is her God, you suffer because you listen to the devil, because the woman is of the devil until she truly repent and be born again.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that.
And finding a woman that's been born again is like looking for a needle in a haystack.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever obey a woman? Would you ever
obey a woman?
Obey a woman.
I obeyed my mom.
Oh, God,
when
no
told
wonder.
Me things. I happen to think that obeying my mom was a very good idea.
Did your father protect you from her?
It was a balance. It was a life where both worked for my benefit. They both raised me
but
in the ways of the Lord.
But why did your father protect you from your mother?
Why would he have to?
Because she's evil.
No, my mom was not evil. She's redeemed by the Lord.
She's what?
She's a redeemed soul.
So she was perfect when she was raising you?
She was not perfect.
What was imperfect about her?
Neither was my dad perfect.
What was imperfect about your mother? What is small? You don't have to get into your
private
stuff.
Yeah,
not private stuff, but what was it that would irritate you about her and you wish you would just stop at times?
Well, my mom is a very clean, and we had to clean constantly, and that was difficult to keep up with my mom.
Yeah. And when you told your father to make her stop, did he tell her to leave you alone about that?
No, because my dad loved the cleanliness.
Well, he was afraid of her.
No, not at all.
But why did he protect you from her then? Why did he correct her?
He agreed with her. There was no need for protection.
That's sad.
No, it was not. It was a good
home. But now
home.
You've been traumatized by that.
I have not. I disagree.
You're not a clean person?
I'm not as neat as they are, that's for sure.
But your wife thinks sometimes you're too neat because you want everything to be all perfect. And you got that from your mother.
It could be. We could have varying degrees, but my wife is, she's just like me. We have many spinning plates everywhere, and, you know, metaphorically speaking. And so we have lots of things that
And she doesn't
that are
like
here
the fact that you want everything all perfect. She likes for things to be clean, but not the way you like it. Have you noticed? Isn't that true?
There could be a difference there, but it's not a big deal.
Is that true, though?
It could be, but it's not a big deal.
Is it true?
Is it true?
Yeah, you like things to be like your mother did because you became like what you hate, right?
Uh-huh.
So you like things to be all neat in this kind of way.
Yeah.
She likes things for being those kind, other kind of way.
Yeah.
And that's a battle.
Well, I happen to like the relaxed, you know, we're fine with a little bit of busyness and hecticness at our house. It's totally fine.
Well, when she get upset about it, how do you deal with that?
When she gets upset about...
I mean, when you get upset about at her, about things not being the way you like them to be, how do you deal with that?
Well, we do talk about it. We sit and say, you know, I I would want to do this, and we figure it out. We work it out.
Amazing.
Yes,
isn't
it
that amazing?
Is. Praise the Lord for that grace.
So now you see why a man should never listen to the woman, because he'll suffer every time?
I disagree with that.
Why?
But I hear what you're saying.
What am I saying?
That a man should never listen to a woman.
Did you forgive your mother for imposing her will on you like that? In other ways, too,
yeah.
That I don't want you to mention.
Yeah.
Did you go and forgive her for it?
I didn't have to, because I wasn't offended, per se. I understood that it was a good thing.
I know, but for the little anger and little zing that would teach you off about her, have you gone and forgiven her for that?
It wasn't an issue. I see it as a virtue of my mother.
So you have not gone and forgiven your mother?
There was no offense, so I didn't have to forgive.
But she was not perfect. Have you forgiven her for the imperfect things that she did?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You told her?
That I forgive you for the errors.
Right.
Huh. I don't think I've ever said that, but I don't...
Well, why not? God said to do it. Why have you done it?
Because I never held anything against her.
But you do.
There was no...
Your mother get on your nerve.
Well, that's all of us, right?
Right. Because all mothers are evil.
No, that's not true.
You just said that's all of us.
Well, all boys growing up have to have a confrontation with mom because
right,
we
because
need to be
of
disciplined.
That evil nature, and mama try to control you, mama destroy your innocence by making you angry, and you become like mama. And when you go and forgive her, God will forgive you, and then he'll take away the mama spirit, the mother nature, and give you back the father spirit.
Where is that in Scripture?
In
I want to hear that from
in
the
Genesis.
Bible. In Genesis?
Yeah.
What passage?
God, remember God
what
said before you enter into the kingdom,
uh-huh.
You must go and forgive?
You gotta show me
Did
that.
Did he say that?
Well, it says that we're forgiven.
No.
We're...
It said that before you can enter into the kingdom, before you enter, you must go and forgive.
Jesus taught that before you go into the temple, that you ought to go and make amends. If you are in confrontation with your brother.
Did God say before you enter into the kingdom, you must go and forgive?
I don't remember that specific citation.
Go back and read it.
Okay, you got to tell me what verse it is, though.
It's in the Bible.
Okay.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
They were created to follow.
So why would you... follow?
Yes.
You say women were created to follow?
Absolutely, yes.
And where in the Bible does God say women were created to follow?
It doesn't say it in those words, but it does say in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 3, talking about family life. And it does mention the idea that that wives submit to your husbands, for he is the head of the home.
But where in the Bible does it say women were created to follow? To lead. You said to lead or follow?
No, I said follow.
Oh, right.
I said follow. I agree with you.
So women were created to follow and not lead, right?
Absolutely.
So why do some churches have, and I don't know if you do this or not,
okay,
have women pastors and
wrong.
Women leaders and all that?
Not biblical.
Right.
That is wrong.
Why do they do it?
They do it because it's popular, because it's because there are more women in the church that outnumber all the men. Because it
brings the money, huh?
And it brings the money, yeah. In some cases, I don't know. There are some small churches that have women pastors too.
Right.
They see it as as the right thing to do, but Scripture's against it.
Would you ever sit under a woman pastor?
No.
Me either. At least you stand for some against those women, man.
Thank you.
Does your wife know you think this way?
Absolutely,
oh,
yes,
good.
And she agrees.
Good. I didn't want you to get yelled at
no.
tonight.
My wife never yells at me.
Because you obey her.
No. She submits to me rightfully and in a holy way.
Oh yeah, right.
And then we help each other.
Okay.
Yes, it's very
nice.
Do
you have children?
Yes.
And do you protect your children from her?
I don't need to do that.
When she's angry or impatient with the children, do you tell her how the cow ate the cabbage? Don't treat my children this way.
No.
And why not?
If there are cases when if we disagree with a stance of discipline that we take, we talk to each other privately without the children knowing.
But why do you go privately? How would the kids know you're protecting them from mama if you go in and hide in Korea?
Because I want them
They need to see you doing it.
No, I want them to know that both mom and dad are their leaders and are on their side.
But,
Yes, that's
the
scripture.
The kids need to know that you are going to protect them from the mother, but most men are afraid to correct their wives in front of the children because they know she's going to bitch out.
No.
Isn't that true?
I disagree with that.
No, most men will not correct the wife in front of the children.
Okay. Every time you say something like that, you're talking about unregenerate, unbelieving women, moms?
No.
Or you're talking of a Christian mother?
I'm talking about those men who are afraid to correct their wives in front of the children so that the children should see the father dealing with the mother with perfect love. Hey, don't be irritated with my children. Don't be angry. Don't do this. And they will see you loving what's right, and you're correcting their mother with patience, with love, and they're going to love you and draw closer to you. And they're going to see her overreacting because her ego is being offended because you doing this in front of my children. You making me this. And the father's going to say, that's fine. You calm down. You can't treat. And they're going to know the love that you have as the father and the hatred that the mother has, and they'll draw closer to you, which will cause them to draw closer to God, because you're a son of God.
I see the assumptions underlying what
you're
saying.
Not assumption.
Yeah. But Scripture has instruction for parents that for us to present a united front to the children.
And that's
we
what
are united
you're doing.
By Christ, and that's what we do.
Right.
And so whatever correction I might have for my wife, is done just between the two of us, and then we come forward to the children.
The woman made that up. That ain't from the Bible. Remember how Mary came? Jesus' mama named Mary, right?
Yeah.
And she was out all looking for Jesus. He was in the temple.
Yeah.
And she came, Jesus, where are you? Mm-hmm. I was so worried. Mm-hmm. I was looking for you. And he like, shut up, woman. Go sit down.
I'm not buying your translation of that passage.
In front of everybody. He like, I'm here by my father's business. If you had been about the father's business, you wouldn't be worried about me. Isn't that true?
That's not how what he said, no.
What did he say?
What he said was, don't you know that I am about my father's business?
I rest my case.
Yeah, but he didn't say tell her to shut up.
Yeah, he did. They just left that part out.
Matt, that must be in The Chosen show.
Oh, man. I want to ask, are you into politics at all?
Sure, yeah.
Do you mind talking about politics?
I don't mind.
Because I know a lot of preachers are afraid to talk about politics.
Yeah, no, I don't mind.
Okay. Are you more conservative or liberal?
I would consider myself a conservative.
And were you ever a liberal, Democrat kind of a person?
Probably in high school.
Okay, what changed your mind?
I took a political science class at Cal State Long Beach with a professor who showed us Thomas Sowell.
Oh, yeah.
And I read a book called The Vision of the Anointed, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And that reshaped my political thought.
Right on.
Yeah.
And so, what do you think about the Great White Hope?
Remind me again of the Great White Hope.
You know the Great White Hope.
Was that Trump or Obama or who?
and not the Father Messiah.
Okay.
It was Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Right.
What do I
Some
think
Some people
of?
Call him amazing.
Yes.
What manner of man is this? The wind and the sea obeys
him. Yeah, yeah. I'm not in that camp.
Some people call him king.
Yeah.
And they hold king rallies around the world worshiping the king.
Yeah.
And some people call him daddy.
Yeah.
But I call him the Great White Hope.
I see. Okay.
What's your impression of the Great White Hope?
There's good and bad.
What bad?
In Trump. What's bad, I think, is his example of manhood. When they asked him about the gospel, he said, do you need the gospel? Do you need to be forgiven? And he said, of what? I've never asked God for forgiveness.
Right.
He doesn't understand that
he's
a fallen
man. I don't know if he said
man.
I never asked, but he said he doesn't ask.
He doesn't ask.
Right, because that doesn't mean he's never asked.
Yeah.
But now that he has asked and God forgave him, he doesn't keep having to ask anymore because
has he
doesn't do it anymore.
I've never heard him say that he's done that.
Yeah. He said, I don't need to keep asking because I don't do those things anymore.
Well, if he believes he doesn't sin anymore, then he's running afoul of the epistle of 1 John.
Really?
Yeah.
And so do you sin?
I still sin, yes.
You still sin? And who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
I am a sinner saved by grace who is being daily sanctified by God. That means that God is working on my heart to work out those sins so that I might more and more resemble Jesus at the end. And that process doesn't finish until glorification, the end of all things, when Christ returns.
And so you told me what you're doing, your center and being glorification thing.
Yeah.
But who are you? Not what you do, but who are you?
I'm Miguel. I'm a man who is made in the image of God. I was born in sin and saved by Christ.
And so once again, you told me all your problems. Who are you?
Who am
That's
I?
That's your name. You're male.
Yes.
But who are you?
Who am I? Things I like. What am I? I'm a human being. I like barbecue. I like comic books and movies. I like theology. I am a born again Christian.
You still didn't tell me who you are. You told me the things you like.
Uh-huh.
You're a Christian. The club you belong to.
Yeah.
You're this and that. But who are you?
Who am I?
Yes. You told me your name.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't tell me who you are.
I like this. Okay. I am a soul who was known by God from everlasting, even though I didn't exist until the 80s, and that's when God made me become a person. And then, I haven't existed until then, and now this is God in his providence has made me who I am through all the various influences that have come about in my life.
So I'm still waiting to hear who you are.
I am the collection of memories and experiences that God has put in my life.
Are you your thoughts?
My substance, my person is both my body and my spirit. So
are you your thoughts?
I am both my thoughts and my biology.
And so do you create your own thoughts?
That's a good question. Yes and no, because there are certain needs and impulses that I have that... if I'm hungry, suddenly I'm thinking about barbecue.
Are you thinking about that, or the hunger makes you think about that?
Well, my body, my
your
biology,
body tells you that you're hungry,
who
right?
is me.
Right. But do you create your own thoughts?
I would say yes.
And how do you do it?
In a limited sense.
How do you create? Tell me how you create thoughts.
So I guess
number one, two, three. What are the first steps? What's the first step, second step, and third step that you can take to create a thought?
The first step to create a thought, probably to meet a need.
No, but how do you create a thought?
There's some impulse, there's some influence before me that is in me that makes it be born, that makes it spring up.
Right, so there's something else doing it and not you.
Yeah.
So how do you say you create them now?
Because they're in a sense inside me.
Right.
And there is a very unique collection of memories and thoughts and experiences that come together and formulate a specific thought that only I have.
But how do you create them now?
Yeah, they do have to be out of something else, from something else.
So then how do you create them?
Because I'm the only one who has that specific collection of memories and experiences.
No, everybody on the planet have that.
No, I have a specific experience that only I've had because I'm the person embodied here.
You have an experience that you had or have, mm-hmm. but you're not the only one that are having them.
There are common people.
The same thoughts that making you have them is making everybody on the planet have them until they understand what's happening with your thoughts.
Well... me, in my specific context, you know, LA, whatever. I've grown up here. This is who I am. These are the thoughts I've had. These are the influences I've had.
But you're not creating them.
Hold on. And then, but someone in India is going to have a completely different experience and
no. And they're going to have the same thoughts, same feeling, but just be in India. But it'd be the same.
So they're very different. They're going to see different colors, different architecture, different culture.
But still, that inner person is going to have the same problem. Where is the kingdom of heaven?
The kingdom of heaven is Christ, and it's in the hearts of his people.
And where is that?
Where is it?
Where's the kingdom of heaven?
Well, right now, it's as a believer, I've come as a representative. I have the kingdom of heaven with me. And so I represented to you as the gospel that Christ has come to save his people.
Is there, because of time,
yeah.
Is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, you must confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to be born again?
Where Jesus says that?
Yeah.
Well, in his...
Is that right? Am I saying it right?
When
is there anywhere in the Bible when Jesus said, you must confess Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be born again?
Well, he says at the end of Matthew when he says, go to all nations making disciples and baptizing them. That means immersing them in the name of, which is the collection of teachings and doctrines and instruction of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he includes himself in that.
Now, Matthew, is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, you must confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to be born again?
Well,
is that
when
in the
Jesus,
Bible?
When Jesus gave that instruction, that's essentially what he's saying.
But he didn't say that.
Well, his teaching, in, for example, with Nicodemus, when he says you must be born again, and
right,
how am I to do that?
But even with Nicodemus, he didn't say it. In order to believe, in order to be born again, you must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be born. He didn't even say that.
Well, even in I'm sorry, you keep going.
Jesus say that anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah, even in that discourse in John 3:16 is the most well-known verse in Scripture.
What does that say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever is believing in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
But the question is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, you must believe in Jesus Christ in order to be born again?
I would say that passage, 3:16, is pretty clear.
Did Jesus say that?
Did Jesus say that?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a good question.
That's what I asked. Is there anywhere in the Bible... When Jesus said, in order to be born again, you must believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior.
I think that passage could be, it could be the writing of John commenting on Jesus, or it could be Jesus saying it.
But
I would say that because it's so intertwined with Jesus' speech in Nicodemus, we're meant to see it as what Jesus is saying.
But did Jesus ever say that?
Well, with the passage in Matthew, with the passage
in... No, is there anywhere where, because of time.
Yeah,
is there anywhere where Jesus said, in order to be born again... No, you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to be born again.
So
did Jesus say that?
He wouldn't have said it that way because that would be speaking in a third person about himself.
What?
He would be speaking in the third...
Did
you
Jesus
must believe in
that?
Jesus Christ. He would say things like, the Son of Man
did
has
Jesus
come to
say
seek...
That?
The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost.
No, Matthew, did Jesus say that?
Well, that specific formulation, maybe not, but...
Maybe or yes or no?
I can't recall a specific moment where he said that exact phrase, but there's so much teaching about Jesus saying...
No, I'm asking, did Jesus say it himself?
He must be, yes.
No, Jesus didn't say that.
Yeah.
Jesus said, in order to be born again, you must believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the cross and blah, 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 for you to be born again.
Well, I would say that the command at the end of Matthew would be.
But Matthew
Jesus
may have
that.
Said it, but did Jesus say it?
Well, Jesus is the one who's saying it in
no,
Matthew.
No, did Jesus say it?
Yes, Jesus is
or
the one.
I know you're from you were born in America,
yes,
but your parents
are from El Salvador.
El Salvador.
Yeah.
I've been to El Salvador.
You have?
I love it.
Wonderful.
Well, I've been to San Salvador a couple of times.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because El Salvador is the poor part.
Yeah.
San Salvador is the rich Mexicans.
Well, I know. It's the whole country. San Salvador is the capital.
I went to San Salvador, uh-huh. and that's the first time I ever seen athletes see you can tell the rich folk from the poor people.
Yeah.
There were no middle class.
Mm.
And then, and the El Salvador people are not called Mexicans, right?
No, 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 no. They're Salvadoreños.
Right, they're Black Lareños. They were they were treated the poor Black Lareño just like white people treat the poor here.
Mm.
They were living on the beaches, and we stayed on the beach. The people I went with, they own their own home on the water. And I was like, wow, they're treating their own people the same way they said white people treat the Blacks.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a shame, actually. It is amazing.
In what way is it a shame?
Well, it's a shame because, El Salvador's coming out of a long history of struggle, and I would hope that they would be better with their people who are in need.
Have you ever gone there?
I've only been there once when I was a kid.
Yeah, I've been there more than you.
Yeah,
and I'm Black.
How'd they treat you?
Amazing. On the beach, they treat me amazing.
Oh, that's great.
We had servants mm-hmm. that would clean the house, and the house right on the beach. They would feed us, they cook the food and everything. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I know what it is to be a rich San Salvador.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Amazing.
I've never experienced that.
What do you think about the president of San Salvador?
Nayib
or
Bukele?
El Salvador?
I think he's doing amazing things.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he's done something that has never happened in the history of El Salvador. He's brought down crime, and it's a safe place to live. People are happy. There's still problems, but you can't solve everything in just a fortnight. You know, you need time. And I'm praying, Lord willing, that El Salvador continues on its trajectory.
Me too, man. They got a really powerful mayor right now running it.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, mm-hmm. gathering the illegals up in our country here in America mm-hmm. and sending them back to wherever they came from by way of ICE and the people getting in the way of ICE? What do you think about all that?
I think that people need to respect the government authorities, that Scripture says that we ought to. I think that even local governments need to respect, they need to keep things in order as well, because part of the problem, for example, Minnesota, was that a local government was getting in the way of the federal efforts. And so when that happens, you have disorder and chaos, violence. There is a good and a good way to do this. Unfortunately, some of the imagery that has happened lately has been to the detriment of the efforts of ICE and so on to take people back to their countries.
Huh?
It became a mess, unfortunately. And I think that it's not entirely the fault of, say, the people that are being detained. In some cases, ICE itself, too, needs to reevaluate and refocus. I think when the Trump admin sent Tom Homan over to Minnesota, he kind of put things back in order. And I think that was a good move.
Let's say that if the government has participated with the ICE people and just let them know this person's in jail here. That would be none of these things happening.
Absolutely right. Yeah. I haven't studied the issue that deeply, but I think that Obama was deporting even more people.
Whoa, yeah.
And it was very orderly.
Because
and no
the Democrats and everybody in the media participated with
it. They
Obama.
Went right along with it, and it was fine. And it could have been fine here, too. But of course, the Democrat Party wants to make violence out of it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Not all of them, of course, but still. And because of that, then you have these issues.
What a mess, huh?
What a mess.
Amazing. Do you believe that dual citizenship, if a person have, you know about what dual citizenship, let's say that you're born in America, so you're an American citizen, but let's say that you were born in El Salvador, and you came to America, and now you have American citizenship, you're an American.
Yeah.
What would your heart be, to El Salvador or to America?
If I had dual citizenship?
Yeah, who would you support?
That's a good question. If I had dual citizenship, my heart would be divided. I don't think that's a good situation, per se. But I could be wrong about it. I've never thought about it. Oh, okay. And so off the cuff, I would say, no, you ought to be the citizen of the country where you live. So that's an off-the-cuff answer. I haven't thought of it too deeply.
Yeah. Okay. Was God Jesus or was God, was Jesus God or the Son of God?
He is God and the Son of God.
He's the Son and the Daddy?
He proceeds from the Father.
Right, but is he the Son or the Daddy?
Jesus proceeds from the Father. So he's the Son of God. And it's as if the flashlight was always there and it was always on. Was the Father ever not the Father? Of course not. He's always been the Father. Was the Son ever not the Son?
So was Jesus God or the Son of God?
Yes, he's of the same substance as the Father.
Right, that's true. But is he God or the Son of God?
Well, you can identify him as the Son of God, sure.
Did he call himself the Son of God or God?
He says both. He calls himself the Son of God, and by saying that, he made himself equal to God.
Where did anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said, I'm God?
When he said that, he was essentially saying that. That's why the Jews took up stones.
He made it clear that he was the Son of God. He never said the Jews were crazy.
Uh-huh.
They were jealous of him. They tried to kill him because he was influencing the people. But where did Jesus ever say, I'm God? Because all the way through the Bible, he said, I'm the Son.
Yeah.
But where did he say, I'm the Father?
In the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to John, and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who lived and the one who died. The designation of Alpha and Omega is a direct quote from the book of Isaiah, where the Alpha and Omega is God, Yahweh.
I know, but the Alpha and Omega don't mean where he lived, where he died. It means that there is no end and no beginning.
He's attributing to himself the exact same identity as God.
So because of time, you think Jesus was God?
Absolutely, yeah.
So then when he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Who was he talking to?
Well, I'm a Trinitarian, so he was speaking to the Father.
No, he was speaking to the Father.
Yes.
But why would God tell the God, forgive them? Why won't he say, I'm God, I forgive y'all? Why would he tell somebody else
to forgive? Because Christ is the mediator. So if you remember Christ, the incarnate...
I know, but why if Jesus were... Oh, when Jesus said, I'm doing my Father's will.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was he talking about?
He was talking about the Father. He was speaking of
the
Father.
And who is the Father?
Father is God.
And so if you were doing the Father's will, but he was God, why would he say, I'm doing the Father's will?
Because the incarnate Christ, when he's realizing his ministry as the incarnate Christ, he comes as a Son of Man. So he is doing all the what's called mediatorial work of a man. So he's a high priest. So when he prays like Moses did back in Exodus when Moses was saying, remember your promises. Don't curse them all.
I know, but
Jesus is doing the same thing.
If he was the Father, why would he say, I'm doing the Father's will? I have to go and pray for my Father's will.
Because this is
called the... Why would God have to go and pray to God?
Well, Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, we read that Jesus... It says he emptied himself by taking up the nature of a man.
No, I know he did all that, but why would God go and pray to God?
Because they're two persons. I'm a Trinitarian again. So
you're what?
A Trinitarian. I believe in the Trinity.
Oh,
the
Lord.
Trinity. So
you're one of those.
How many of those have you spoken to? So yes, it's three persons, and they speak to each other. They have communication.
Can you do greater work than Jesus?
Yeah, when Jesus said that, he meant because he was speaking to a few people in Judea in the first century. But nowadays, we're communicating to millions.
Can you do greater work than God?
No.
Well, he said you could. If you believe Jesus God, Jesus said, don't be worshiping me. Uh-huh. It's not me, but the Father in me. and greater work you're going to do than I've done.
Yeah, well,
why would God tell you you're going to do greater work than him?
Because Christ is referring to the specific ministry of his preaching right then and there in that time. And that it had, in Christ's view, a limited scope for that time. But he said, the church, my representatives, with the Spirit of God, will have a reach that is far beyond Judea.
What is it like believing all that?
What's it like believing all this? Yeah, it fills me with hope and confidence.
Because Jesus never said anything. So listen, I got to put you on the hot seat.
All right, yes.
And because of time here.
Okay, gotcha.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Gotcha.
The hot seat.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Yes.
True or false? Abortion is worse than slavery.
Yes, it's true.
What is a man?
Man is a biological male made in the image of God.
Was Jesus white or black?
He was Semitic.
What?
He was Semitic. He was from the Middle East.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Is the earth flat or round?
It's round.
Does a chicken have lips?
No. I was hoping I'd get that one. I studied for that.
Did you take the jab?
I did not.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
False.
Should we give the blacks reparations?
No, sir.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No, I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't think so.
Have you ever told your mama how the cow ate the cabbage?
No, I have not. Someone needs to tell me because I don't know what that is.
would you prefer to live under Sharia law or Jim Crow?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Jim Crow. Yeah.
Is it true or false sending your kids to a public school is child abuse?
I wouldn't say child abuse, no.
Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
No, absolutely not.
Should women be allowed to play in men's sports?
No.
Amazing. Did you have fun?
I loved this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate you taking on the hot seat. That was amazing.
Thank you, sir.
So let the folks, tell the folks how they can get your website, your church, or whatever you want to promote.
So
that's your camera right there.
Go to First Baptist Church Norwalk.org. First Baptist Norwalk.org. Yeah, I hope I got that right. And then that's where we are. First Baptist Church, Norwalk.org. I memorized this.
I can't remember that. I totally understand.
And then look up the LASBA podcast on YouTube, and you can find us there, too. So look up First Baptist Church of Norwalk, California, and if you Google that, you'll find us for sure.
Yeah. Amazing. Is that it?
And that's all I got.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support us by becoming a member of the Fallen State right there on the YouTube channel on locals.com. And also, I do shout-outs for you, personal shout-outs, happy birthday shout-out, encouragement shout-outs, wedding shout-outs, congratulations, encouragement, whatever. Go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Check out our merch and coffee and everything on jesseleepeterson.shop. All right? Let me hear from you. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, and let my producer know if you're someone else you'd like to see on The Fallen State. Contact my producer, producer@thefallenstate.tv. producer@thefallenstate.tv. I do appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Amazing. Thanks, man. Night.